Hey there, sit down, make yourself comfortable, and grab a cup of tea. Welcome to the 125th episode of Theas Tea. Thanks for tuning in. For this week's tea talk, I know I had to drink something hot because last week I didn't, and you could definitely tell in my voice. Honestly, last week's episode, I felt like it was kind of a train wreck, but that's okay. Consistency for me is the most important thing. I know there are so many creators that take so much pride in the fact that they only release episodes that they're 100% proud of, and it's like, are you realistically every single week producing perfect episodes? Like, I think not. That's so unattainable. And for me, it's more important to get into the habit of like consistently developing content, trying to be creative, and just like meeting your standards. You know, like, I'm not getting paid for this, there's nobody like on my back like, you have to release an episode, but just like a personal commitment, and with you guys, the listeners, that you can count on the fact that I'll release episodes consistently. So yeah, even if it's an episode that I don't think is that great, I'll still publish it, and sometimes it does help people. Like, sometimes episodes you least expect are the ones that resonate the most. It's weird. But yeah, all of that to say, last week's episode did feel a bit like a train wreck. And what I was saying with that was that I didn't have a hot beverage, and actually this past weekend I was kind of sick. So this week for this tea talk, I opted for a cup of coffee. I don't know how good of an idea that is, because it's currently 10:15 p.m. but it's just a little bit to like finish what I had in the French press and be able to make some fresh coffee tomorrow morning. So yeah, it's literally the tiniest bit of coffee. I'm going to be drinking water for the rest of the episode. So yeah, and as for the mug I'm drinking it in, I need it. Basically, I have 4 mugs in my apartment, and 2 of them I can't put in the microwave. So whenever I'm heating up drinks, it needs to be from one of these 2 mugs that I can't put in the microwave. And this is just one that is kind of like an off-white color. It has a big, bold T, and on the bottom, it's kind of like flared out. It gives it kind of like a little stand to the mug because the liquid doesn't go in all the way to the bottom. Like, there's a centimeter, like 3 centimeters that don't contain liquid at the bottom, if that makes sense. So yeah, that's the tea talk. To paint the scene a little bit for you guys, I just took a shower, I washed my hair, I currently have it up in a towel. The water was cold, and there's nothing worse than like washing your hair with cold water on a cold winter night, but it's almost spring, I can't wait. So yeah, I'm literally in my pajamas, I'm all cozied up, and yeah, I hope this paves the way for a very entertaining episode. Let's get into the life update. The last time I talked to you guys was literally like 3-4 days ago, but I have so much to report. All right, so Thursday, which was the day after I talked to you guys last, because I recorded last week's episode a little bit last minute, and this week's episode, I'm recording it like the time I usually would. So Thursday, I had my normally scheduled classes. There wasn't anything like too eventful from that. And that night, my friends made plans, and I told myself that this weekend I was going to go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because next weekend I can't go out because I'm going to be preparing everything for when my family arrives. And then the next week my family arrives, so I'm going to be with them. And then the week after, my family will still be here. And then the week after, my mom, my sibling, and my grandma will have left, but my dad will still be here. Plus, it's right before finals, so I'll be preparing for finals. Sorry, midterms. And then the next week, it will be like midterms throughout the week. And then I think the week after, I'll still have some midterms. So that weekend, I'll be studying as well. And then the next weekend, I can go out again. So all that to say, I really wanted to make the most out of this weekend. But last weekend, I did go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it was a lot. And then this weekend, things didn't really work out. So Thursday, there were plans to go out, but I just wasn't really feeling it. And then I told myself, like, okay, I'll go out if I accomplish everything I want to do for tomorrow, which seemed pretty attainable, except that on one task, it took me way longer than it should have, and then I had, like, you know, planned for it to take. So I wasn't really feeling it. I didn't want to spend money, and I didn't accomplish everything I want to do. So I just didn't end up going out that night. And yeah, so that was my Thursday. And then on Friday, I had my classes. It was spectacular because every other Friday I finish at 11 a.m. Like, what? That is such a blessing. And knowing that last semester I had classes on Fridays from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., like, I literally feel so happy this semester with my Friday schedule. And then in the evening, I had my fitness sport class, and it was tiring. I feel like when I was younger and I was in dance, I kind of got like an injury. Like, it's not like super serious, but it's a really specific pain, like in my hip, that I would get. And I remember that, like, I got it once, and then every time I like worked out in a specific way or overdid it, I would feel that pain again. And I had forgotten about it for ages because I wasn't like dancing and stretching like that. And then I like felt it again on that Friday. And it was Saturday and Sunday. I've still been feeling that pain, and it's so annoying. And so, yeah, I feel like I need to be more careful next time. But yeah, that was just kind of annoying. And then after the fitness class, I went to get dinner with my friends at the same place we went a week before. It's this Spanish restaurant called Cien Montaditos that is here also in Bordeaux. And I went with my Spanish group of friends. So for them, it feels like home. For me, it's just like a fun place. And it was really nice because that plan on Fridays is so fun for me. We just go out, like get some snacks or get something to eat. And I drink this Spanish beverage called Tinto de Verano, which is so yummy. It's literally like wine and sparkling water and lemon, and it tastes so good. And it's very like light in alcohol. It's like beer, but I like beer isn't that fun to drink, whereas this Tinto de Verano, I love drinking it. It's just so fun. And yeah, it was fun because it was like a chill dinner, and then I went home feeling kind of buzzed, and I was like, whoa, this is a life. And also a note about Friday. Remember in last week's episode where I said that I had taken a test in math and it didn't go well? I got the result back and I actually passed it at a pretty decent grade. So all of that stress was for nothing. I love my math teacher. He's very generous with grading and he's kind of hardcore, but you realize that he does have like our best interest at heart, you know, and he like is constantly evaluating us so we get into the habit of studying and practicing, and he's generous with the way he grades us, and you know, he like make a bunch of tests and just take the best grades. Like, you can tell he wants us to succeed, which is not at all the experience I had in math last semester. So I just feel so grateful that math is feeling enjoyable again, and more than enjoyable, just like attainable, you know, like passable. Saturday was not a fun day either. I basically had a weird dream, and I woke up kind of angry at myself for having that dream, because it's like your subconscious planted this into your mind, and I was angry about that, you know? And so that just like I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and then I woke up missing my family, and it was like the second bad day I had in the week, and I hadn't had bad days in a long time. So I just started getting flashbacks of my first few months here where I was really upset all the time, and I didn't want to return to that state. So I don't know, I was kind of bummed out. And then I had a plan to like study throughout the day, and I just felt kind of lazy and sick, so I didn't want to study that much. And then I felt guilty for not studying that much. And then I met up with some friends because we were going to plan a trip, and it was the biggest fail in history. We looked at every destination possible in like Europe and Northern Africa, and we didn't find a thing. Like, either the prices were too high, or we couldn't like rent a car there, or the dates didn't line up. There was always something that didn't work. And it was just so disappointing because we'd been talking about this for a while, and it was like, that was it. Like, I felt like I was gonna walk out of that house with tickets purchased, with my bank account hurting, you know? And instead, you know, we walked out with like the plans completely blown off, and it was very sad because I had gotten my hopes up about taking a trip in the summer with my friends. So yeah, that was kind of upsetting. We're still looking to see if we can find something, but I don't know. I don't know if it's gonna happen, and that was just very upsetting as well. And then we were supposed to go out, but considering the terrible day that I had had, I just was not in the mood at all. So we got to the friend's house that was like hosting the before, and nobody else really wanted to go out, so we just kind of like chilled there, you know, we're chatting and everything, and I was already feeling like really upset and tense. And while I'm sitting there, I get a notification from my bank account that 70 euros had been discounted from a traveling company from my account. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I did not buy any plane tickets. Like, what is this? And then I looked into it, and it was a company from which I had bought tickets a while ago. But you know, they had already charged me for the tickets, you know, like why are they doing this? And then I looked into it, and it was a specific platform that when I went on the website, all the prices, they appeared like prices and then like premium prices. And you could tell that it was like for a membership. And I was like, I don't have the membership. They're just gonna charge me like the normal fee. And when I bought the tickets, it was a normal fee because when you went onto the website of the airline itself, it displayed that same prices. But I just bought it through this other company, right? It's called Go Voyages. So that you never buy anything from them because, okay, so basically, as I was saying, I was buying them at the normal price, or so I thought. And I always read everything like 10 times when I'm buying tickets because it scares me so much. I'm always so scared to get the wrong date or to like be greeted with an unpleasant surprise at the airport. I don't know. So, yeah, you know, I thought I was like reading everything properly and everything. And then they asked me to like create an account so that I could like download the ticket and everything. And so yeah, I thought I was doing everything well. I went on the trip, it was fine, blah blah blah. And then this day they discount 70 euros from my bank account because they already had my card information. And I look into it and I go into my account on the app and it says like, oh, like I go into my profile and it's like premium member. And I was like, when did I sign up for this? Like, I don't want to be a premium member. And it's like, I think what they did is when I bought those plane tickets, they just charged me their supposed like premium price and signed me up to be a mem like a premium member, even though that's not what I wanted, and even though they still ended up charging me like the normal price. So yeah, I looked into it and you can cancel it, but you don't get a refund. Like even if you cancel it, you still get like the discounts for the rest of the year because it's an annual membership. So it's like basically, you don't get your money back. And honestly, like, it could be kind of like a blessing in disguise because, like, I'm still looking for like plane tickets and stuff. So these discounts could come in handy, but I mean, they're not all that huge. Like, I feel like I could still find cheaper prices on other websites, you know, like, it's not that big a deal. And what annoys me is the fact that it happened on accident, you know, like, it happened because I wasn't paying enough attention. Like, that's what bothers me, that I was irresponsible. And 70 euros is a lot for a student, and in the real world, it is a lot, but it's also like not that much, you know? And if the discounts like are good, then it's like kind of worth it, but it's just, it was like involuntary, you know? Like if I wanted to be a premium member, then I would be happy to be, you know? But that's not what I asked for. So I'm just really annoyed. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know if I should talk to the bank. I don't know if I should talk to them. The clock is ticking. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, and I also need to get plane tickets like within the next week. So it's just like that stressed me out so much. I literally burst into tears in the middle of like the before. And my friends told me that that had happened to them as well. Like these companies do this. Like when be very careful when you're buying tickets like on platforms like that, because they may as well like that's what they do. They sometimes like sign you up for their memberships without your entire consent, or maybe there's a tiny box you had to check and you didn't properly read. And you thought it was just like the terms and conditions. So, yeah, just be careful because I'm very upset with that and I don't know what I'm gonna do. So, that was my Saturday. I was very upset with it. And then Sunday, so today, I woke up early because I knew I wanted to get a lot done. And honestly, it was a pretty productive way. I administered my time wisely, I think. And I was just like, I listened to myself. I was like, oh, I wanna do this. And I did that. And then I was like, oh, I would rather work on this. So, I did that. I feel like I was very harmonious with myself, and that's why I could get so many things done and feel good about what I was doing and the tasks I was accomplishing. And so that motivated me to keep going. And then I also cleaned and started, pre not started, continued preparing things for when my family gets here. You know, just random tasks that I can start checking off. And that way, next weekend, when their arrival approaches, I won't be so stressed. So yeah, that has me very excited, very happy. I just can't believe I'm doing these things for them. You know, it's like, I can't believe they're gonna come visit me. It's like surreal. I'm so happy and excited. So, just a little heads up, as I mentioned, I have a very, like, I have a very hectic couple of weeks ahead, so I'm gonna try my best to like pre-record a bunch of episodes, but I don't know if that will be possible because I also need to study a lot in advance, and obviously that's a priority. So maybe I'm gonna miss a couple of weeks up ahead. That's not ideal, but I'm trying to get as much as I can done before, but we'll see. Just, you've been warned. But yeah. So just an overall note for this past week, I have felt kind of like anxious, because as I said, I had two like quote unquote bad days this week, right? And so that has had me feeling overall very anxious, specifically about school. I don't know why this kind of crept into me, because as I said, the grade that I got back was good, and I feel like in my classes overall I'm understanding much better than I did last semester. But I have been feeling really anxious about like getting everything done in advance, you know, because as I said, like I'm gonna try to study a lot these 2 weeks, and then for a couple of weeks I won't really study that much, and then I have midterms, so it's like not ideal. So I'm really stressed about that. And also lately I've been feeling like my work is kind of for nothing, because for instance I have a couple of friends and it kind of seems like they don't work that much. I feel like I put in many more hours, you know, I revise more, and obviously you never completely know someone, but I do feel like I kind of put in more work, and then I feel like they get better results, and it's just kind of like, if there's a shortcut, like why do they have it and I don't, you know? Or like I just wish that what I did was enough, you know, like what I did would get me results, you know, like not even about them, just like I wish that the work I did could give me, you know, good results. And it is, but it's always like it could be better, it could be a teeny bit better, and that's just an annoying headspace to be in. But that's just kind of what I've been feeling the past few days, and it's not that fun. It's much better when you're working from the heart, when you like don't have that pressure to do things, or like that pressure to get good grades. So yeah, that's just something that has had me anxious school-wise. And another thing that has been weighing on me is literally my family hasn't even arrived. They arrive in like less than 2 weeks, and I'm already dreading their departure. Like they haven't even set foot here, and I'm already thinking about how heartbroken I'm gonna be when they leave. The good thing is that when they leave, I'm gonna be so consumed by finals, and then I have like a week of class, and then I have holidays. Sorry, midterms, I keep saying finals. So like the good thing is that I'll be busy, but at the same time it's like midterms are such a dark period. So that, in addition to the fact that I'm going to be mourning like the departure of my family, like I feel like it's going to be a dark time for me, and I'm already dreading it. And I know I should live in the moment and enjoy the time that I have with them here. Like I know all of that, and I know I'm going to have such a good time with them, but I know I'm going to be crushed when they leave. So yeah, that's just kind of like what I've been thinking about, and it's like that, don't put yourself through this twice. You're all gonna be upset enough when they leave, so don't be upset from now, but I can't help it. So yeah, that's everything I had to get off my chest for this life update. As I said, it was a few days, but there was a lot to report. Let's get started with this week's topic. So as you can tell by the title, we're going to be talking about navigating friendships. I want to talk about several aspects regarding friendship. So meeting people and making friends in college. And I know in college that's supposed to be like relatively easy because you already like you're in classes, you know, a bunch of people. And everybody says that once you leave college is when it gets hard. But I still feel like there's definitely something to be said about making friends in college, and also like in my case in a new city. So I want to talk about that, just meeting people and then how you develop friendships with these people you've just met. Then maintaining friends, so like when you already have a friend in your life but you want to maintain that friendship through time, how you can nurture it and make sure that you just don't become strangers. And I'm going to be doing that in two sections. One, if you're like living in the same city as a person, or you're kind of in the same loop as them, like if you're in university together, or maybe if you're in different majors so you don't have classes together, and you still want to develop, like keep the friendship with them, and how I maintain friendships with my friends back home in Colombia that I obviously don't see in a long time. And then lastly, I want to take a note on friend groups and how I feel about that concept in general. It's clear that I have motives as to why I want to talk about friends. All of those different little subtopics are proof of that. But also I want to add that friends are such an important part of my life. And I know everybody says this and everybody's like, oh my gosh, my friends mean so much to me. And I'm sure everybody needs it, but so do I. I don't think I was lonely growing up, like not at all. But I feel like at one point, maybe I did feel a little bit lonely. And then I just started to meet a bunch of people and it made me very happy. And it became like a huge part of my identity. For instance, back in Medellin, I was known as a person with a lot of friends that knew a lot of people and that had like good relationships with all of them. And I value that so much. Here, it's kind of different because I've only been here for like 6 months. You know, I only know the people that are like, I know people a little bit from everywhere, but it's like, I mainly know people from my faculty at my school and my year, you know? So it's kind of like a much more closed circle. And I don't have the reputation that I once did. So, I mean, that's kind of like, is disheartening a word? If it's not, like, imagine it were, and you can get what it means, you know? That's the word I can use to describe this feeling. It feels like kind of heartbreaking. And I just enjoy having friends so much. I love talking to people and, you know, exchanging with people. I love having people to do things with. I love just kind of like the support. I love running into people, you know, like unexpectedly and having it be fun. I love, you know, interacting virtually with people. I love posting stories with people. I love hanging out with people. And so, yeah, friends are something that I really value. And I mean, like, this is kind of obvious. I feel like everybody kind of does. But yeah, I just felt like I had to say it. And honestly, I was very scared and still kind of am about assembling a friend group from scratch in a new place, which is what I had to do once I got here. And as I said, it was like the pressure was high because I came from a context where I was like well known, where I knew a lot of people as well. And it's like everything was so settled and I was so comfortable with myself and with the way things were. And I kind of knew that I wouldn't be able to exactly replicate that anywhere else. So yeah, I mean, maybe it's not true, but I feel like anything would be kind of like a downgrade in comparison to that, you know? Maybe I'm idealizing it in my head, but yeah, that's just kind of like how I felt these past couple of months. And I must say something that I talked about on the podcast before, but when it was my birthday in January, the week before, like the week leading up to it, I was very upset and very unhappy and just like not feeling it, not having a good time. And on my birthday, I had planned a dinner with my friends and they made it so special for me. Like the whole day, I felt so supported by them and they knew that my birthday was a very big deal for me. And they all like made an effort to be there and to be present and to make me feel special, to make me feel like a princess and to give me gifts, you know? Like it was such a special experience. And the like support that I felt in that moment is like incomparable to anything else I've ever experienced, because it was something that like literally lifted me from the pits of despair. And just a contrast with a couple of days before where I felt so lonely and lost, to that feeling of just being so embraced and appreciated, was very special for me. So all this to say, like, I do feel like there are people here that support me and that are here for me. And yeah, this isn't like a disregard to them. Like, I'm not talking about, like, yeah, today I'm talking about things that are, you know, to meet new people, to maintain friendships and all of that. But yeah, I want to speak like from the perspective of a person that does feel loved and supported. Also, I feel like this is applicable to any point of your life. We're kind of like transitioning now. but there are different types of friends for different occasions, you know. When I think of like the people I know here, there are some friends that you have in class, you know, that you like talk about assignments to, you literally only talk to when you're in class or about class. And there are friends that you like go out to party with. And some of them are both, but that's like the two main categories of friends I have right now in my life as a college student, you know, it's not very shocking. And the other day I went through something that kind of broke my heart as well. And obviously, when I first got here and when I first started making friends, I knew that it wouldn't be like an instant profound connection at once. And I guess I kind of got used to that. And the other day, I realized that like I hadn't had a deep, meaningful conversation with somebody here in a long time. I feel like to my mind, only two like profound, enriching conversations have taken place in the 6 months that I've lived here with friends of people my age. And that is just heartbreaking to me. Maybe you can tell from this podcast that I am like a reflective person. I love analyzing and talking about like things that I consider important and not just superficial things. And I feel like I haven't been able to open up these spaces with my friends in all this time. I don't know if they're doing it like amongst them or if they even care about this, but I just came to that realization and it was heartbreaking. And it's not like I haven't tried to open up these spaces or, for instance, to like talk about my problems, for example. But sometimes it's not that reciprocated. For instance, the other day I was going to talk to my friend about something that was really tormenting me. And I know it seemed kind of ridiculous, but when I told him, he literally rolled his eyes and changed the topic. So maybe he didn't realize like how important it was to me. But just like receiving that reaction made me feel very alone because I wanted to talk to it. I wanted to talk about this with somebody that was here in France. Because a lot of my biggest concerns, I always talk to with people in Colombia, and I'm aware that I need to start transitioning that support system here. And so just like receiving that reaction really made me feel upset. And then I'll have other friends that maybe are like very good listeners, but that don't give me advice or input. So I just kind of feel like I'm talking to a wall. And don't get me wrong, like having good listeners in your life is very important. And maybe I should be more explicit about like wanting to hear what they think. Maybe I should try asking them more and asking them questions about that so that they can feel comfortable, like, you know, sharing their opinion on that. Maybe that's what I should do. But yeah, all of this to say that I feel like it's been hard for me to truly just find people that I can talk about these things with. So yeah, that's kind of like all I wanted to say to open up the doors for this conversation. Let's get started. Let's talk about meeting people and making friends. Keep in mind that these are like two separate things. I feel like step one is meeting people, and step two is when you meet a person that you think is cool and you want to become their friend. Let me start by saying that I view meeting new people as such a blessing. Like, it's an opportunity. Like, when you meet somebody new, this person could be your best friend. They could be the love of your life. They could, like, you, for all you know, they could have a huge impact on your life or become somebody very important. Like, I feel like it's so exciting to meet new people because, sure, most of them will maybe not play a huge role in your life, but what if there's an odd chance that they do become very important in your life? Like, I just feel like that's so inspiring and exciting. So I feel like meeting new people is a true blessing. And for instance, this past weekend, I had the fortune of meeting 4 new people. Like, it was like, and you know, like properly sitting down with them, like having conversations, actually getting to know them. Cause like in a party, like, okay, like you can like meet a lot of people, but not really like talk to them, you know? But this weekend I like properly met 4 people, and I was just like, it's so fun to have your world constantly being opened like that. And I feel like it's important because you get like so set in your ways, you know, with your people, like with your ideologies. And so meeting new people is very refreshing. And I feel like when you have this attitude, it's much better for you to like keep an open mind and be excited to meet new people. Sometimes other humans like dread meeting new people or like the social energy that it requires, and I understand that, but if you view it more as like an opportunity, maybe it won't be so draining, you know? So how do I meet people as a college student? The first way is pretty obvious: at school, like in your classes. I have all of my classes with pretty much the same people, but a good way to like guarantee that you're putting yourself out there enough is seeing if you have like, or like, no, not seeing, like it's not like a checklist, it's something that you can try to do, you know? So trying to make friends in all of your classes, you know, like if all of your classes are with different people, having at least one friend in each of them. And this is convenient not only for like the class itself, you know, having somebody you can ask questions related to the class too, but also just like knowing that there will be a friendly face there in the classroom. And yeah, you know, it's a great like excuse to meet people, and the friendship doesn't have to end when the semester ends, you know? Maybe you can really hit it off and become good friends and continue hanging out after. That's what happened to me. You know, I still chat to the friends I met in class in Colombia when I did a semester of university there. And here I still am good friends with the people that I had some classes with last semester, and now I don't. So that's a great opportunity to just meet people. And it's like, they're literally right there next to you. You already have something in common. Like, how could you not become friends, you know? And then another one that I feel like is really good to make friends is literally by friends of friends, you know, mutual friends. I feel like this doesn't get enough credit. And I feel like you should, like, people shouldn't be as afraid to mix their friend groups. I've always been a huge advocate for mixing friend groups. I'll literally throw parties with 40 people, and like, all of them are like, I know them from different things, and then a bunch of them end up having like connections between each other, or they just get along, and it's so fulfilling to see that. I feel like people should mix their friend groups more often. Like, don't gatekeep your friends, like So yeah, I feel like if you're going to throw a party, like telling your friends to bring their friends and you inviting like your other friends, and that way everybody can get to know each other, I feel like everybody wins, because not only will you meet new people, but like maybe some of your friends will meet other of your friends, and then you can all start doing things together, and like really beautiful friend groups can blossom from that. And you just have to learn to not be jealous if maybe two of the people you introduced become better friends like themselves. Like, obviously that's annoying, but I feel like all the potential benefits from introducing your friends outweigh the potential cons. So that's something to keep in mind. I feel like friends of friends are such a great way to like meet new people, and it's like a first filter, because it's like, you know, they've already been like pre-approved by your friends, like, you know, they're not serial killers. And, you know, if you get along with your friend, then you'll likely get along with the people they like as well. So I just feel like it's a great way to meet new people. It won't always work, you know, sometimes I like friends of friends, like you're gonna hate them, but sometimes it can really work out. Another one that can seem pretty weird is literally just talking to people on the street. I did this once, like I was here in France and I heard some people talking Spanish, and so I started talking to them. And I mean, it's a little bit weird. People won't always match your energy, but sometimes really like fun, random interactions can come out of that, and maybe they could like develop into further potentials. And if you think about it, like once you graduate college, a lot of people say that it's harder to make friends, but one of the ways that you can always like see people is literally on the street, you know, living their lives. And you know, that's always going to be like, it can always have the potential for you to meet people through there, you know? So yeah, obviously with this one, proceed with caution, but sometimes like if you're really lucky, you can have a beautiful friendship stem from something like this. Another obvious one in the case of college is through your classes. You know, if you can find at least one person that you are familiar with or friendly with in all of your classes, that can make your experience not only like academically much more comfortable, and you can have something to look forward to and somebody that can help you out and you can help them out, and you can just develop a very good relationship that can favor this class, but also it's a perfect excuse to meet people and to push yourself to get to know the people that are already around you, that are already, you know, in the same environment as you. And it's very easy to cultivate a friendship this way, because you already have a set time and date to see each other. You don't have to like put in that effort per se. So that's always really practical. Back home in Medellin, I made so many friends in just like extracurriculars, clubs, academic events, and sure, you like volunteers also. You meet people through that, but then you can maintain the relationship and continue seeing each other outside of that context, or if it's a one-time event after the event ends, you know, it doesn't have to be like just for a certain period of time. That's really where you're gonna ask yourself, you know, if you want to build the actual friendship or if it was just something getting you on for like that short period of time. So I would say, you know, joining a bunch of things, signing up for a bunch of things is always a good way to meet people. Even if you're not making friends in every single event, just the fact that you're signed up in so many things gives you much more opportunity and room to be able to make friends. So yeah, all of this to say, don't be afraid of mixing your friend groups. You can meet friends that are really cool from your friends, and your friends can meet some of your other really cool friends. I feel like we shouldn't gatekeep our friends and the people that, you know, we get along with in our life. You can just spread the love with everybody. So that was kind of talking about how to meet new people. Now let's address how you can actually start building a friendship, with these people. Because I oftentimes find myself in a situation where I meet someone and I'm like, oh my God, they're so cool. I want to be their friend. And you kind of ask yourself, well, how do I make that happen? How do we go from strangers or acquaintances to friends? So I feel like in this age of time, obviously one of the first things we can do, and that is very much like understood and reciprocated, is following each other on social media, whatever social media you use the most. And, interacting through there can be pretty easy, just like liking each other's posts, stories, responding, commenting, sending each other things, TikToks or memes or, anything that reminds you of the person or that can occur to you to send them, try sending those things and building a conversation. And even through that, you can like build plans. If you see like a cool restaurant or something you want to try out, you can start like making plans with this person. And at first, it maybe will feel like a little bit awkward. But if you really want to do develop, if you really do want to develop, sorry, a friendship with this person, then reaching out in that sense at first could kind of like get the ball rolling. And if it's a person you met through somebody else or with somebody else, you can maybe try to making plans all together. That way it's a little less stressful. And yeah, just sometimes hanging out one-on-one with a person you're just getting to know is a little bit hard. So if you add other people into the mix, that can maybe help. Or if you already have plans with a little friend group, then maybe you can invite them as well. It's just about like getting creative and figuring out how you can include them in a part of your life. And get to know them if that's really what you want. So that's all I have about meeting people and making new friends. Okay, so you've become friends with this person. Things are looking well, but you're scared that with time and potentially even distance, you will fall back into being strangers. So, how do you maintain friendships? I'm gonna cut up this section in two. One about how I maintain friendships with people here in France, in Bordeaux, the city I live in, and with how I keep in touch with my friends back home in Colombia. Now, these two categories aren't necessarily distinct. Some of the things you can apply for both categories, but I decided I would just divide it in two to include like the specific things in each one. So, first, the easy one, how I maintain friendships with the people here. A really important thing is to randomly, text people and share things. I remember that at the beginning, when everybody arrived here, when everybody was meeting each other, when we were all new to this, something that made me feel really behind was that I could see like other people texting each other. And I was like, what do you guys have to talk about? Like, you literally just met, like, and they would always be texting, chatting. And that really made me feel like I was missing out on something. And instead of like staying behind, what I suggest you do is to become one of those people, And honestly, to this day, don't know what people were talking about at the very beginning. But, you can always start developing a friendship with somebody by texting them about random things. If something funny happened to you, then letting them know about that. Or if, something interesting happened and you have like gossip, you can talk to them about that as well, or randomly text them, and ask them about their day. For instance, when we all arrived to college, how their classes were going, how they liked the environment and everything. So yeah, just like randomly texting them. I know it can seem a little bit weird if you don't have the habit, but I honestly know people that for which it's very normalized to randomly text people out of the blue, and they see it as something like very natural and normal. So when they do it like that, it's perceived as something natural and comfortable, So randomly, text things to people, share events of your life. I feel like that can really like flip a switch inside of somebody. And if they're like, oh my gosh, this person reached out to me to tell me this random thing, they'll have that present, and then maybe one day they'll do the same thing to you. So it's really just a great way to like open the door and sort of establish the tone. Another great thing is meeting for meals. Listen, eating is something you're already gonna do, so why not share with somebody, whether that be, for instance, at school, on campus, if you both have a lunch break together, or going out to get dinner or something on the weekend, at like a restaurant. But I just feel like sharing meals with people is such a good idea. You know, it's not like a super long thing, so if you have a tight schedule, you can still include it, you know? And if you're scared of spending a lot of time with a person that you don't know that well and you don't know how to maintain a conversation for that long, a meal is just a great way to get in touch for a little while, and it gives you something to talk about, you know, the food you're eating or how your day has been. So I just feel like it's really practical. I can't stress this enough, you know, meeting for meals with people you want to become friends with is such a good idea. And it doesn't have to be like this huge thing, you know, it can be really, you know, casual and a part of your day-to-day life. And I feel like you can just start building that bond. There's also partying, and I know this isn't like a great way to get to know a person, blah, blah, blah. But I just feel like it's so important to have good party friends, people that you love going out with that are always like the life of the party. And I feel like those are also friendships that are worthy of cultivating, you know? And people that you get along with really well at parties can also, you know, be very important in your life in other senses. But yeah, I feel like a great thing to do with people and friends or people you want to become friends with is to party. Another way that you can maintain you know, a friendship or guarantee that you spend time with somebody is by studying. Particularly useful if you're like if it's a person that is studying like your same major or you have classes together, or even if not, you can just like get together to study and each do your own thing. Even if you don't end up studying and just talking all the time, that is fun too, and that can also help develop your friendship. But yeah, it's very good because this is a type of thing that will hold you accountable and that like benefits you and the other person, and you're motivating each other, so that's really awesome as well. And another one, like another fun thing, not fun, but something that becomes fun when you do it with somebody else is running errands. You know, having somebody tag along with you while you do the things you have to get done, and they can entertain you, or you can like both do errands that you have to do and keep each other company. You can turn something that's really boring into something that's like more fun. And all of these things are kind of like killing two birds with one stone. You know, probably like activities that you're already doing either way, but you find like a little something extra to incorporate into it and to be able to develop a friendship and maintain a friendship, or just make sure that you get together with somebody to catch up. And yeah, so that's kind of like the goal with these kind of hints to maintain friendships. And literally all the things I said are things like to do. And I feel like one of the main struggles in maintaining a friendship is like seeing each other or finding ways to see each other. So these are just like some ideas of things you can do with your friends so that you don't become strangers. And some of these things you can even make like a tradition or have them repeat every so often, be like something periodic, and to just like guarantee that you do get to see each other and spend time together. Another key thing in maintaining a friendship is finding things to bond over. It can be common interests, hobbies you have together, shows you both like, music you both like, things you like to do together, whatever that may be. And it can be something that, you know, characterizes the time you spend together. For instance, if you both like pottery, then you can get together to do pottery. Or if a musician you both like releases music, then you have an excuse to talk to them. And, you know, just something that you can share. If you both like flowers or film, you know, whatever that may be, it automatically gives you kind of like an excuse to hang out or just something to talk about. So those are the things that are specific to maintaining friendships with people in my city. And now, how do I keep in contact with my friends from other parts of the world? Before I left Colombia, I made a huge list of all the people I cared about, the people that I wanted to stay in touch with, and the people that I wanted to see again once I got back. So every day I text one person on that list and I ask them for a general life update. I ask them about how school is going for them, how their family is, what's been going on in their life, how they've been feeling, how the city is going, how their extracurriculars are going, how they're going with their friends, if they have a significant other. And I just ask them about general gossip. You know, I ask them for everything. And we catch up. You know, I text them, and they get back to me, and we just kind of like start a conversation like that. You know, they ask me about my life. And that's just how I get to hear about them. And then every day I text a different person on the list. And when I end the list, I start over again. And that just guarantees that every so often I make sure I hear from these people and they don't become strangers. And sometimes these other people will reciprocate, you know, they'll be like, oh, Bea texts me every once in a while, I should reach out to her today. So yeah, that has been such a game changer for me because it just guarantees that I kind of stay in the loop of all of these people I care about. And it's not talking every single day with everybody. It's, you know, maybe once every 2 or 3 months I hear from them. But that for me is a pretty good deal considering that I live so far away and I only go like once a year. It's great. It's like just as much as I need to stay in the loop. And honestly, it's better if you're not talking to everybody every single day because if you let life happen for a while, then catching up is just all that much more interesting because so much has happened, they have so much to share, and it's actually a juicy conversation. Whereas, for instance, if you talk to somebody every day, there's not that much for them to report. So, yeah, that's just like a good side that I see in not talking with people like every single day. And something that I just want to add is that I'm not that big a fan of calls, like phone calls or video calls. So you don't need to call if you don't want to. Obviously, these types of interactions do make you feel like the person is closer. And if you're talking for an extended period of time, then you really do get to strengthen the bond. But you can also maintain touch with people in a different way, like just through text and like voice messages and stuff like that. And that's okay as well. For me, it's more sustainable because I can randomly respond to a message while I'm waiting for the bus. Whereas, you know, if I want to make a call, then I need to separate like a proper amount of time. So it just feels like more difficult to factor in. So I personally prefer, you know, texting. But yeah, obviously, whatever means of communication works better for you and makes you feel more comfortable, then you should go for that. And another thing that has really helped me is more of a state of mind. And it's that I need to trust that when I go back, I will be able to see all of these people as I usually would. You know, it doesn't have to be awkward. It doesn't have to be weird. And especially since I know that I've been keeping in touch with them all of this time, that, you know, I won't get back and to complete strangers, you know? And we can go out and do the things that we would usually do before. And yeah, you know, like it doesn't have to be weird. So just having that to look forward to is what motivates me to keep in touch with them and to keep talking to them. And since I'm so excited about returning and seeing everybody, my piece of advice in that sense is to really plan in advance your return. I know that like a couple of weeks before I arrive, I'm going to start scheduling things, you know, preparing to see people and everything so that I can optimize my time there and make sure I get to see all the friends I want to. So yeah, that was my little recap on how to maintain friendships, both with people that you can see regularly and people that may be at a bit more of a distance or that you simply don't see that often. Lastly, I want to have a word on friend groups. So here's the thing. I've always struggled with friend groups because it seems like a really weird concept. Friend groups that are too big, I feel like you don't have a deep connection with all of them. And I hate the fact that like you're closer to some of them than you are to others. It doesn't seem perfect to me. Like it's kind of annoying. So, you know, a friend group for me would be ideal if it's smaller, like maybe 4 people, I feel like is good because you can like be like really good friends with all of them individually. But it's definitely true that maybe larger groups are more fun because it's a bit more chaotic and there's more going on. So not to hate on them, you know. I definitely see the value in them. But then people would maybe argue like, okay, well, why don't you just have like a big friend group and then have, you know, the subgroups for like that intimacy? But just I don't like the idea of subgroups, and I'll talk more about that in a second. So all that to say, kind of like the conflict I have with friendship groups. I have always been a person, not always, but like for the past couple of years, my social interaction was very much based like on myself. And I fluctuated a lot, but I felt like a lot of the time I wasn't in a specific friend group. You know, I had a bunch of different friends from a bunch of different friend groups, and I could hang out with them individually, hang out with their friend groups from time to time, and I would just hop all over the place. And I was totally okay with that. You know, I didn't feel like I was lacking anything. To the contrary, I felt like I was winning because I got to spend time with all of these different people without being tied down to one specific group. But then came a period of my life where I kind of did become part of one group. And I definitely saw like the hype in that because having like a go-to circle of people that you can always make plans with, you know, always text in the group chat when something happens, you know, all be really close between each other, have all of these inside jokes, you know, that's also really nice. And it feels very homey, because even though I had all of these friendships, there wasn't like a central group, you know? So that kind of like, I don't know, that center is something that I did learn to appreciate of friend groups. But something really interesting in that experience was that I arrived to the friend group late. I arrived to it when it was already formed. You know, these people had their dynamic going on for a while. And for me, the effect that had was very interesting, because I didn't feel like scared or an outsider. I mean, I did kind of feel like an outsider, but in a good way. For me, it was like all the heavy lifting had already been done. These people had already created their dynamic, you know, their inside jokes, their way of interacting. And I just had to adapt to that. You know, I didn't have to like invent it. So for me, it felt really easy. And then, you know, when I started hanging out with them, it was like I was getting this trailer or this preview of how being their friend would look like. And that was really interesting, because it was like what motivated me to continue like investing in the friendship. You know, whereas maybe when you're with a bunch of new people and you're all starting to become friends as a group, it's kind of awkward. Like, you don't really know in which direction to steer things. But when I arrived to a friend group that was already formed, it felt so much more like natural. And I also knew my place. I knew that I wasn't going to be their best friend since day one. So I didn't feel that pressure to like immediately fit in, you know, and that like not being hard on myself allowed me to truly enjoy the experience, you know, appreciate their dynamic, and understand that little by little, I would become a part of it. So that was really awesome when I was integrating a friendship group that was already made. But when I got here to France and started my college experience, everybody was kind of like competing to form their groups. And that had the complete opposite effect on me. I feel like I really closed off in that sense, because everybody was trying to show their best self. Everybody was trying to show how funny they were, how fun they were to be around, you know, why they should be included, it felt kind of like the Hunger Games, you know, like everybody was competing. And for me, that felt like really exhausting. Like, I didn't want to have to prove to everybody that I was worth including, you know, I just wanted to fast forward to the part where they already knew me and they already liked me, and I didn't have to feel like I, you know, had to continue impressing them. So that really, I feel like, flipped a switch in me in like a flight mode, you know, because I felt like really discouraged, to, you know, want to prove to these people that I'm a good friend to be around, you know. And I feel like it was because I wasn't in the mode of like, okay, you're arriving into the friend group late, you know, all you need to do is like adapt to their dynamic. It was actually like, you know, if you miss out now, like if you blink, they'll already have an entire dynamic, you know, formed like between them, and everything shifts so fast and everything is changing, and you'll have to like fight your way back in. And the difference with this is that it's a friend group that's just forming, you know? It's not like arriving late to a friend group. It's like they're creating it and you're there, but you're not there. So that's even worse than arriving late, if this makes sense. I mean, the way I see it, when you arrive to a friend group late, you kind of have like extra credit, you know, because it's like, oh, you arrived late, you know, maybe that's why you don't get all the jokes. Maybe that's why it takes you a little bit more time to be included, blah, blah, blah. But if you're all starting from like the same line and you see that they're kind of like getting closer, you know, like there's no excuse for you. You know, it's like you all had the same opportunities to like hang out, you know, get to know each other. But if you're falling behind, like that's totally on you. That's the way I see it. So that's why I'm like not such a big fan of the dynamic of friend groups, and it stresses me. Like, I love having like my individual friends, you know, and some of them are friends between them, so we can like do things together. But I don't know, I always like the people I gravitate towards too are kind of like independent, you know? And I know that like the people I consider my friends, I really like and appreciate, and I don't hang out with them just because like my other friends are hanging out with them, you know? I don't know, it's weird. And that for me is literally the definition of a social butterfly, a person that just jumps from like friend group to friend group, but not like in like, oh, like she gets sick and tired of everyone. No, just like a person that's able to spend time with any friend group or any individual and just has a bunch of like different friends sprinkled around, isn't tied down to one group, can easily like get to know others. And that's literally the identity I had of myself in Colombia. And here in France, the social scene has been kind of difficult for me. So I feel like I don't have that social butterfly identity right now, but I do want to work my way back to it because that's how I like feeling about myself, you know? And earlier I said that I would talk about subgroups, so I am circling back to that. I don't like the idea of subgroups because it really raises a matter of inclusion. Of course, if everybody knows where they stand, then that's okay. But as I was saying, for instance, in the example of when you're starting to develop this friend group with other people and you notice that others start getting closer between themselves, it feels really annoying to just see how you're being left out and how the others are getting closer between themselves. And just knowing that you all started like on the same line and then they just progressed more together, like that's really upsetting to me. And yeah, you know, if it's like you're all in a big group, I would like to feel that we're all in one group, you know. I hate the fact that they're like subgroups. It just, I don't know, like it doesn't mean that if you have a tight-knit group, you're not allowed to spend time with anybody else. But I don't know, I feel like it's one thing when you're a bunch of small different groups and then you all get together versus when you start off as one big group and then everybody kind of goes their own separate way. That's the rant I needed to have regarding friend groups and just, oh, the anxiety they produce in me. So let's wrap up all that we discussed today. We talked first about meeting people and making friends. So I gave ideas on ways you can meet people that are already in your orbit and, you know, ways that you can kind of step out of your comfort zone and meet new people, just break the ice, make that first interaction. Once that's done, how you transition from being acquaintances to friends. So, little things you can do to start making the other person feel more comfortable and potentially developing a friendship. Once that's done, I talked about how to maintain these friendships, especially when it's with people that you don't see that often. You know, ways that you can continue being present in each other's lives and ways that you can get to see each other every once in a while. And really just talking about how you can make yourself feel present in the other person's life and ideas of things you can do together. I especially gave a bunch of tips on long distance friendships and how you can maintain that and try to like not waste that time per se, so that once you get back, things can be as similar to they were before you left. Lastly, I said a bunch of things about friend groups and how I don't entirely love the idea of them and just my personal experience and conflicts related to them. So hopefully this episode gave you tangible tools to maintain and nurture the friendships that are in your life, and especially navigating friendship at this kind of period of your life. If you're similar to where I am, you know, in college, in a different place. But also, in general, whatever point of your life you're in, hopefully you could get something from this episode because friends accompany us all throughout our life, and we really have to adapt to how our lives will evolve and still make sure that we prioritize friendships and are able to meet new people and maintain the friendships we have had for a while. So I hope I was able to transmit the importance of all of this in this episode.